Hello, everybody, and welcome to week two coverage of Celebrity Big Brother UK here on Reality TV or Hap Ups. I am one of your international Big Brother correspondents for the season, Kurt Clark, and joining me, as always, for our UK coverage is my neighbor to the north, Mallory Baisley. Mallory, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kurt, but gosh, what a boring, uneventful week in the Big Brother UK house.
I know. It's, you know, we try to keep these things to between, like, you know, 60, 90 minutes. I think we'll be lucky if we can get 10 minutes out of this week. What a week, huh?
Who knew such abnormally gigantic bananas could cause so much trouble?
I know. You had Banana Gate. You had a couple unruly housemates. Well, okay, you have a lot of unruly housemates. Some a little bit more extreme than others. Like, we kind of hinted at the at Jeremy leaving when we recorded last time as a spoiler. Who knew that would set off so much more in the Big Brother house?
Oh my gosh, it was just like a chain reaction of chaos.
I think at one point Cammy called it a train reaction, actually. when Chloe stormed out of the bathroom in tears, I believe, you know, Cammy was like, this is like leading to a train reaction, and I may have misheard. So to set things up for everybody, both Mallory and I have caught up through the Friday evening events. So in this show, we'll be covering what we're calling kind of the week two summary, leading up through the live eviction on Friday. And so if you haven't, you know, caught up through that, you may want to catch up before you listen to this. And so we'll be discussing that. We'll be discussing the new entry into the house. But I think the big headline here isn't necessarily the fact that Chloe left. We'll get to that definitely and discuss how that transpired. But, you know, we have to spend, I think, the opening moments of the show talking about what was probably the biggest set of drama in the week. And that's the almost back to back ejections of Jeremy and Ken. And I'm going to put it out there right now that I am a terrible judge of character.
I knew it. I was right about Ken. He is a creep.
Between Rob calling it, you know, getting it called right with Jeremy, and then you getting it right with Ken. Oh, he's just an adorable old man, says Kurt. It's like, no, no, he's really not. And there's some complex stuff going on there. But let's start out talking a little bit. We talked a little bit about it last week. We kind of kept ourselves to a 3-minute spoiler section. But now we can go a little bit more in depth into Jeremy. I think, you know, when we talked about it last time, we hadn't actually seen what had yet transpired. But for those of you, I know there's a couple folks out there who are listening to the podcast, not necessarily watching the show. There's a moment where Jeremy had kind of overserved himself and he was sick in the bathroom and he was being tended to by Cammy and Chloe and Nadia. I think everybody was kind of checking in to make sure he was okay. But at one point, he is in there alone with Chloe, and they do not have the cameras in the bathrooms, at least turned on, or they never will air anything that's happening in the bathrooms on the celebrity version. I'm not sure if you were aware of that contingent, Mallory, contingency on the civilian version. They are told that, you know, things that happen in the bathroom, if things are being discussed, we can air footage in the bathroom. I believe one of the clauses for the celebrity versions is, you know, we can mic you in the bathrooms. We can have cameras in there, but nothing that's ever on camera will be aired or shown.
You mean celebrities are treated different than normal people? That's crazy. I didn't know that. That's actually really interesting.
Like that's my understanding. And again, I'm sure, like, if I'm wrong, I'll be told. But I believe that, yeah, in the celebrity versions, the cameras are just more there, kind of like for this very purpose, like for security reasons. But they are told, you know, nothing will ever be aired from the bathrooms.
Interesting.
But then suddenly you hear them conversing, and then Chloe leaves, and the tears kind of build over the next couple, you know, the rest of the episode. So what was your gut reaction to just what happened?
Oh man, I felt so terrible for Chloe. I felt so bad. Jeremy is just such a creep to do something like that. And I just, as soon as she left the bathroom, I knew, like, like my heart just went out to her. I knew something like really terrible had happened, and my heart went out for her for sure.
Yeah, I also felt terrible, and I got a little sickened, maybe. I don't know if sickened is the right word, but when Jeremy started to play the, well, you know, she was in there with a bathrobe and just the two of us, and so I thought that she was coming on to me. I started to feel, I was like, that's just wrong. I mean, that's, and even when she in the diary room, she starts, you know, saying how, you know, she was a page three model in the British papers. So, you know, she's used to showing some skin, and she started to almost seem to like talk herself a little bit into, well, it's understandable that he did this. Like, she started to go down that road a little bit, but Nadia mm-hmm. stopped her, and Big Brother stopped her too. Like, that shouldn't be a factor.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Jeremy. Yeah, Jeremy.
Yeah, I've seen this time and time again. Like women, that's a lot of the first reaction. Like, you kind of blame yourself if something mm-hmm. happens, like you kind of asked for it or something. I know, like, you just see that the same behavior happen again and again. And then later when Jeremy was eventually kicked out, she was like, oh, I feel bad that he was kicked out because of me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh no, I like, oh, you don't need to feel that way. Like, you did nothing wrong. And like, he's just so scummy. Like, I just, yeah, I agree with you. I felt really sickened when he was like, oh, well, there was a robe with, like, there was boobs in my face. Like, what else could I do? I'm like, oh, you could just, like, not touch another person's body, you know? Like, right. Don't touch someone else.
And I think, and he finally, when he's in the, it was interesting because, like, Big Brother didn't eject him right away. I think they were, you know, they're taking it seriously because they've never, from my understanding, had to eject a celebrity Big Brother player from the game before.
Right.
This was kind of a first. And so, like, I think, you know, the first step was, let's put him in like a sequestered room to see, you know, separate him. And then we'll review. I think that's when they were reviewing what happened. And I think for me, and so he eventually, you know, at that point, that night, he does admit that he made a mistake, but the biggest, I think, you know, the most damning evidence for me is if you listen to the conversation, it's not going anywhere. Chloe is very much not leading him on. There's no flirtation. They're conversing about, like, you know, Jeremy's talking about the only times that he feels normal are between when he's sober and when he's drunk or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a back and forth, pleasant, almost philosophical conversation where you suddenly hear Chloe cut off in mid-set and saying, oh, Jeremy, that's just not right. That's just no. And then she storms out. So yeah. There was no, like, you know, subtext at all. I mean, and so, yeah, it was wrong. And I know it was interesting for me to see the reactions of different people, like how Cammy reacted, how Nadia reacted, mm-hmm. and how Perez reacted.
Right. Well, I'll just address, like, the Cammy, Nadia are the easy mm-hmm. ones first. Like, Cammy, I don't like Cammy. She's one of these girls that just, like, feeds off of the drama. And she was mm-hmm. kind of, I feel like she was kind of, like, playing up her overprotectiveness of Chloe in that moment. Whereas I really appreciated Nadia's kind of, okay, let's just breathe, and like that wasn't okay, and like, let's just all calm down. And I feel
can
like
get you some tea.
Yeah, I feel like Cammy was just like in it for the drama, and I was
more expecting to see Cammy in the diary room with Chloe when they were talking to Big Brother, and I was encouraged to see Nadia in the diary room with her.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, we could talk a little bit later on. I've liked Cammy in the opening days of the show, and we, you know, we'll get to eventually to, you know, how, you know, I don't know if there's a Mean Girls clique or how Alicia is being treated,
right.
Or some of the explosions. I've grown to like her less. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I agree with a lot of what's being said on Bit on the Side about Nadia as well, is that at a certain point, take a step back. Like, right. That was a good point for her to get involved and to try to be, you know, protective and caring. But she's also, I think, during the week, at several points, she's getting a lot more involved than she should be.
Completely agree.
But this was, I think, appropriate. This was warranted. But then Perez starts freaking out how he wants Jeremy out. He doesn't feel safe. He starts to almost, and I don't know if it's in reaction to Chloe, him perceiving like Chloe getting a lot of attention or what, but everyone else is asking like, what? No, wait, Perez, stop for a second. What do you mean you don't feel safe? Mm-hmm. To which Perez is like, oh, I know his backstory. And the Perez show, I think, was starting to kick off in full tilt at that point.
Yeah. The thing is, I kind of sympathized with Perez in those early few days. Like, and even with this Jeremy thing where I was like, oh, I feel like Perez, I think a big part of Perez's story is that he was bullied a lot when he was younger. So I can certainly understand, like, if someone like Jeremy's in the house kind of, you know, taking advantage of people or like touching people without their permission or just his erratic behavior in general, I can understand why that would trigger that reaction in somebody like Perez or anybody, even if you weren't bullied as a kid or whatever. But yeah, I'm kind of looking back at it with a different perspective now that we've seen the end of this week with Perez, but we'll definitely talk about that later.
true. And things had kind of died down. Like, I think Jeremy had been removed from the situation, at least that, again, this was all happening, I think, on Friday night. And it wasn't until Saturday morning that Jeremy was actually kicked out. It's Friday night he spent in the sequestered room or what have you. But I think it was that Friday night after Jeremy had been sequestered that we could hear a little bit more from Ken, and Ken telling Chloe not to make a recommending to Chloe that she not make a big deal about this because Jeremy is a quote unquote big Jewish film producer in New York. And that he's basically implying that if she, makes these accusations against Jeremy, that it's going to impact her career.
What a creep. I hate him. What a creepy thing to say to somebody. Like, oh, God. First of all, I don't think Jeremy even has any sort of influence or pull in Hollywood. Just by the, he was a child actor and he doesn't look to be doing very good in his life. I wonder
where Ken's getting his intel from.
Yeah.
We know that Perez did a lot of digging on everybody. So I don't know if this is something that Perez had told him, or if this is something that Jeremy had told him, or this is something that Ken is just, making up.
Yeah, what a creep. But I just get sick to my stomach when I talk about Ken, because I know his type and I recognize everything that he does. He's very manipulative. I just love when Chloe's comeback. She was like, I don't care if he's the Pope. Like, I really liked Chloe, like, in these conversations with creepy Ken, like how she was really just like, no, it's my choice to do page three. It wasn't my choice to have my robe pulled open in the bathroom.
And there were a couple points where he would say stuff to, like, what I think maybe he was serving up as a hypothetical or as more of a rhetorical question. And then people were like, oh, Ken, how could you? And she'd be like, no, let me answer this. Like, so there, and I don't have it this section of my notes right now. I might stumble upon it later, but I think we can now fully transition to the Ken discussion.
Yeah.
it's interesting. And so for those, again, Ken ends up getting kicked out like around Monday. Throughout the week, he's been making lots of comments, a lot of ass comments. I mean, it's going to be hard to get through this. I probably should have opened the show with a disclaimer that the Big Brother show opens with. This is not going to. Well, this is probably going to be pretty safe for work. Maybe not something you want to be listening to with your kids or impressionable grandparents. But at the same time, they're probably not listening to this if they're not watching Big Brother. And if they are watching Big Brother, then, you're probably okay with them listening to this. So,
right.
he had like lots of comments about the asses that he was going to see in the bathroom. And he calls, you know, the way that Cammy is dressed, he says she's dressed like a half Hindu princess, half slut. To which
Chloe responded with, "You look like an overweight polar bear," which I loved.
Yeah. And I think it was was it the night that Jeremy was even evicted, where he was in the bathroom in the bedroom with Callum and Michelle. And he basically, again, I'm going to, you know, try to tone down the language a bit without necessarily quoting, but like he said, asked Michelle if she would, violently have sex with Callum. And it just like comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And Michelle was like, and this is, I think, why I love Michelle. She says, first of all, I'm married. And if I wasn't married, then yes. But second of all, you better not ask that question to any of the women out there, because I'm like the one person in the house you can get away with asking that. But you have to watch yourself.
Yeah. Oh, Ken, it's just like so many things, so many different things that he just is so clueless about. And like, and I think Nadia said it best when she was basically saying that, you know, he's older, but she was saying her own father is 84 and he would never be caught dead saying something about like a 21-year-old's ass, you know, like, and I just agree with that. And last week I kind of said something like, oh, like he's older, so he doesn't really know, but no, I'm going back on that. I'm going back on that. Like, he should know this. And like, you know,
he's very aware.
Educate yourself, Ken.
The thing is, like, I think we got our first, I can't remember if this was our first, you know, you have been warned about language. I can't remember if he was the first person who gets called into this season so far, which is bad because it's been just over a week.
Yeah.
But he's having a conversation with Alexander, and he uses a particular ethnic reference that I will not repeat, but in a conversational way that he does think is okay. And he later gets called in and warned by Big Brother about it. But then he also gets warned about the comments he made about the bathroom and the question to Michelle about Callum and the half slut comment. And, you know, he makes a point at one, you know, Big Brother, you understand why this is wrong. And, you know, and Ken even acknowledges that later on that he hopes that his wife, he says in the diary room, he hopes his wife isn't watching. He's going to be on his best behavior from here on out. Here's the thing. It's like, ultimately, the thing is, he gets kicked out for making that same racial reference.
Yeah.
He doesn't get kicked out for the comments he's making to the women. And it's interesting because he does keep saying throughout the show that the reason we're here is to create drama, and the public wants to see drama, and he's purposefully stirring stuff up. And so that's why he's saying all these things to the women, and it doesn't make it okay, but that's his, the comment he made to Michelle about Callum, you know, said for the drama and the impact. It's, to me, from my understanding, and correct me if you think a little different, my take on it was that when he was ultimately kicked out, it was for making that same racial reference in a casual conversation with Cheggers. And so when he's talking to Keith, he makes that comment and he gets called up and we told you can't use this language and you're being ejected. The house. So he wasn't ejected for the things he was saying to the women, but the house thinks he was.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess it just speaks to the fact that like being creepy towards women or misogynistic is more acceptable than like being racist, which is like, they're both terrible. And Ken just is relentless with these comments, because he also says some really like creepy things. Like when Patsy was walking in the backyard, Ken was like, oh, one thing that woman needs is a good flogging. And Patsy was literally like, shut up, you're a pervert. Like, she just said it straight out, you're a pervert.
Yeah, called her a scrubber.
And then like she playfully tried to punch him in the face and he was like, lower, lower. Like, he's just such a creep. And it's just like, Gosh, I mean, I was reading the Celebrity Big Brother UK Reddit, and a lot of people were like, oh, it's a double standard. Like, why is Ken being kicked out for, like, freedom of speech? And I'm like, no, like, stop crying your male tears. Like, just, he deserves to be out of that house. Like, educate yourself, Ken. Come on.
And this is an issue I think I have with both Ken and Perez. For me, it's like my understanding of at least, you know, of kind of the purpose. Big, again, the difference between Big Brother in the UK and in the US is that in the UK, it's much more of a social experiment. Like, what happens when you put these people together? And people don't, and the viewers, we've talked a lot about game playing in the past, and they're fine with people acting strategically toward other people. But I think it's the moment you try to fool the audience or play with the audience that they stop, you know, losing respect for you as a, as a housemate. And, you know, they want to see authentic Perez. They want to see authentic Ken. And when Ken is saying to everybody, no, I'm here to, you know, we're here to create drama. We're here to create entertainment. It's like, well, kind of, but they want that to come naturally from your interactions as real people. And Perez does not get that either. Like, Perez is constantly, like, he says he's a producer's wet dream. And I mean, the Friday was it? I think it was the Friday show where he's skipping around the backyard naked, well, semi-naked, and like, you know, grinding up against the windows to the bedroom. He thinks he's delivering the entertainment that the public wants. And I don't think he is.
No, it's. Oh my gosh. Can we just talk about that moment? Like, that, like, created when Prez was, like, humping the window or whatever and, like, making all these, like, creepy sex noises that I did not need to hear. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, like, a visceral reaction to that. Like, I would rather watch, like, Stephen and Kimberly open it for, like, 5 hours rather than see that clip again. I was, oh, it was just so bad. It was so cringeworthy and so, like, disturbing on, like, so many different levels. Oh my gosh. What is with this guy?
And I think, like, the point is kind of served up a little bit by the producers slash editors in that he's doing this whole thing in the backyard thinking, okay, this is going to be, like, the best thing that's going to, you know, that's happening Thursday. And so it's like, but there's all this drama and screaming going on in the bedroom between, like, Alicia and Cammy and Nadia, and that's being all filmed. And then, like, those moments where they cut to Perez in the backyard skipping around and grinding against the chairs and the windows was, like, almost comedic in his desperation.
Oh, my God. It was so hard to watch that whole sequence. I just, oh, my gosh. I don't know how I feel, like, about this Perez guy. Like, I feel like he needs some serious help or something. Like, I don't understand how someone could be so, I guess, camera aware. Like, he just, it's so over the top, the way he's performing everything. But I almost think that he's very much like this in his life. I don't know how necessarily you can, like, divorce your real life from the real life persona you display in the Big Brother house, much like Ken, even though he was saying that he was, you know, oh, people want to see, like, me saying controversial things because it's funny. I really think that he's like that in real life. Like, I don't think it's two different personas. And this is what's so confusing about the Perez thing as well.
Yeah, it's like I have not heard Perez's, I'm not trying to say Perez is not relevant, I mean, or no longer relevant, but I, like, these days I hear his name mentioned, like, much less in terms of celebrity there's so many now celebrity gossip blogs and article, whatever, news sources out there. It's like the first thing I go to, like, when I say go to, is, like, the first thing I think of is, like, TMZ,
right?
And Perez doesn't even, like, come into mind. So, and I don't associate with him. I don't associate him as being somebody who is always around cameras in terms of being filmed. I'm sure, like, if he's attending an event, he's, like, you know, the paparazzi will be there, or the red carpet liner or what have you. But in terms of somebody who's, like, used to being in front being filmed and having their lives portrayed, I don't necessarily associate him with that. So I'm not just, but he seems to always be on and to never like let the mask slip.
Yeah.
And it's for me, it's also like a complete, I don't know if it's a lack of self-awareness or he said several times, I know media and I know what the public wants and this is what they want. And I think he is so far off.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was so funny seeing him say things like that and like, oh, it's the Perez show. And then like cut to 10 minutes later, the crowd outside is shouting, get Perez out, get Perez out. It's yeah. like, how's he going to reconcile these like polar extremes that he's dealing with in there? Like, I don't get what he's thinking.
Because it's like, it's funny because like we hear all the other housemates like throughout the week have said that he thinks this is the Perez show and people on the side who say it too. And I think it wasn't until later this week is the first time I remember him actually referring it to him himself, like in terms of this is the Perez show. It's going to be interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the Friday night show. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, let's talk a little bit about the kind of the nomination process leading up to the Friday night show and how, you know, Chloe ended up on the chopping block. So it was kind of interesting. You know, Tuesday there was supposed to be an eviction and it was going to be between Ken and Alexander and Chloe, and Ken ends up leaving, I believe, a day early. And so they end up having this sort of almost like a draft of sorts where they all draw a wand and Nadia ends up getting the longest wand. So she must choose first. And there is this panel of, you know, all of the apples of all of the guests on the tree. And because she goes first, and the idea is that this is going to determine who is up for nomination. And it's a kind of a series of tasks and a series of selections where it's proclaimed that because she drew the long wand that Nadia is safe, but then she has to choose somebody else to give immunity to, and she ends up choosing Patsy. And then so Patsy's is safe, and then she has to choose somebody. Kind of goes down the line until there is only one person left. And just to recap for people, so Nadia ended up choosing Patsy. Mm-hmm. Patsy ended up choosing Perez, which kicked off a lot of drama later in the week.
Yes.
Perez chose Alexander. Alexander chose Callum. Callum, interestingly, chose Michelle. Michelle chose Katie. Katie chose Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh chose Alicia. Alicia chose Keith. When that put Keith in kind of this really tough spot of choosing between friends Chloe and Cammy, and he ends up choosing Chloe, and then Cammy is left over. When this happened, did you by any means think that Cammy was going to be nominated?
I totally did, but that was just me being completely naive, and I forgot.
You forgot.
I forgot. Big Brother.
We were watching
UK
Big Brother.
Does these reversals all the time? So I was like, "Yes, Cammy. I hate her. She's gonna be gone. She's so annoying." And then I was like, "No, she's queen now, and she has too much power."
Yeah, it's like they show her going up to the diary room, and then of course everybody downstairs gets to watch, and that she's crowned as queen of the fairies, and then it's announced that they must all serve her, and they all face eviction. And of course they cut to Perez, and Perez's face just completely drops, just completely. And then this is kind of where it does kind of fall out more, that you do see that Chloe is, and then later on Cammy, I kind of alluded to before, very upset that Patsy ended up picking Perez. The rationale being that, you know, Patsy and Chloe and Cammy had kind of grown close over many of the previous days. And, you know, and Chloe, I think, was right in saying that, you know, if Patsy had selected Chloe, that by then that ends up saving Cammy as well, because she knew that Chloe would have chosen Cammy or vice versa. I like Nadia has a point that if we're going to fall out every time there are nominations, this is going to be a miserable place. But yeah, I what did you think of the whole, you know, Chloe and Cammy against Patsy dynamic this week? I mean, it was only for a couple of days, but it did seem pretty intense.
Yeah, I liked Chloe in general. And then the only thing I didn't like about her when she had this argument with Patsy, and she like seemed so adamant about like getting her point across to like, oh, well, no, I just want you to understand like why I felt betrayed or why I was upset. And it's just like, oh, my gosh, give it a rest, Chloe. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, I know you're upset, but... like Nadia said, like there's nominations all the time, and like poor Patsy is just like trying to like choose Perez because I don't know, she finds him tolerable, I guess. But
yeah, and it's like, and the thing about Chloe is like she's like, I'm not gonna pretend I'm happy when I'm not. But at the same time, she was not being, at the time, she wasn't being upfront about what bothered her. It was kind of an interesting dynamic where she was, you know, pretty much saying that if something upsets me, I'm going to say that it upsets me, and I'm not going to pretend to be happy if I'm not happy. But at the same time, she was like, oh, I know what's going on, but I'm not going to talk about it. It's like, or she would tell Cammy or she would tell others, but she was still refusing to just directly confront Patsy about it until later on.
Right.
And of course, you know, Cammy comes down, and who's the first person to greet her?
Oh my Perez. God. That was so irritating. You're just like, my queen, what would you like us to do as our first task? And Michelle just goes, you can shut the hell up, Perez. Like, exactly. Just no pause. Just, you can shut up. Oh, it was my God.
It was exactly like he greeted everybody that was coming into the house. And it's like, I liked Perez on night one. And yep. It's just gone downhill from there.
Oh, my gosh. So downhill. So downhill.
But later on with this twist, Cammy must choose the king of the fairies. And she has obviously not watched Big Brother before, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, well, whoever she picks, and actually, you know, when I think before, because I think this was a day later, like the, so like, I think, let's say, I can't remember if it was Friday night she's crowned, or Tuesday night she's crowned king of the fairies. So before I watched the Wednesday show, I was like, I bet she's going to have to pick a king of the fairies. And then I was even thinking potentially a prince and a princess. So like three people would be safe and then everybody else would be up for nomination. But right. She does have to pick a king of the fairies. And apparently it was like, because Big Brother told her a king of the who will help you stir up trouble and create, or however Big Brother phrased it, she actually went through all of the men and said, well, Keith isn't going to stir up trouble and Callum's too calm. And well, the only person who will actually help me stir up trouble would be Perez. So I pick Perez to be king of the fairies. And I'm silently screaming inside when she does this, because I'm pretty sure I know where this is going to lead.
Oh my gosh. It was insufferable, this decision. And it's just like, I get the impulse to choose like the most dramatic person for the tasks, because it makes them in theory more interesting, but oh, we have seen so much of Perez so far. I'm just, oh, it's so tiresome.
But did you suspect that whoever she picked would also be immune?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know anymore.
Because that was like my main concern. Much. Like my main concern was that whoever she picks is going to be immune, and she just picked Perez.
Oh gosh.
And sure enough, like everybody's face drops when she picks Perez, and then some of them drop even further. Even Alicia's, who's nice and tight, their face drops. And when they hear that Perez is immune.
Oh, brutal. Yeah, you're good at kind of sussing out these twists, like predicting the twist as a longtime viewer. I only started like last summer.
That's true.
So I'm still getting used to the, you know,
never trust the twists.
I know.
Whenever you have to single somebody out, you have to assume that it's going to be, you're going to be giving them power in some way or punishing them in some way.
Absolutely.
And so choose somebody that you don't mind being immune and who will roll with the punches if it's a punishment.
Right.
And Perez is neither of those.
Oh my gosh. Who are the other guys in the house that she could have chosen from, though? It's just Alexander, Keith, and Cav? Oh, Calum. Calum as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand the impulse to choose Perez, but yeah, she didn't think it through at all.
Yeah, so, the power quickly goes to his head as well. Although, she's trying to kind of treat him as like she's the Lady Macbeth, and she's actually calling the shots, and he's kind of the, but he's not going to play the meek second in command role. He's like, no, we're you may have picked me, but we are equals in this.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I just, this is like the worst pairing for me. Cause I just, they're the two worst. They're the two worst ones. And it's just so cringeworthy to watch them like bickering. And I don't know. I don't know. What about that moment when, Perez, made that request to Katie to paint his nails? And he said that he was going to vanquish Katie to jail if he doesn't paint her fingernails and toenails. And it's just like, Katie just was not having it at all.
But plus, like, her, like, learn the English language. Like, are you, because, like, well, there's banish and there's vanquish.
Right.
You're going to banish me. And she was just, yeah, she was. And then, and plus, like, he's, like, standing up and making this big proclamation about it to the rest of the house, who could not be less interested. Like, they're all in the kitchen and no one's paying attention. And again, Perez show.
So cringe. I can't even. Oh, I just don't get who this person is. Like, I just don't get why. Why does he do this? It's so weird.
Yeah, and then kind of the next like the next round of their reign is there is this royal gala celebration where they must choose the two people that they feel are most entertaining. And everybody kind of performs. Cheggers is the host. Anna Michelle kind of, you know, does a mini roast of the other housemates. We never really saw what Callum did. I'm sure there's a couple other people. We saw,
you know, you're right.
Alicia kind of gave a treatise on plastic surgery. and Perez breaks out in tears at one point. Was there anything that stood out to you in terms of any of the performances during the Royal Gala?
Well, a positive note. I feel like this podcast has been so depressing so far. Terrible people. But
it's
fun to talk about still. But I did love when Alex was singing Criticize and Patsy looked like she was like falling in love with him or something. I love their little like friendship that they have, Patsy and Alexander. And I just love whenever he starts singing. He's so passionate about his voice and music. I just loved it.
And the thing is, like, I'm not, like, I didn't know Alexander O'Neill before this, and I'm not familiar with his music. And I knew that he had sang a song called Criticize, you know, when they'd introduced him. But, like, hearing him actually say the lyrics before he gets to the Criticize chorus, I was like, this is, like, did he make this up just for Perez and Cammy? Like, this is really appropriate for what's going on in the Big Brother house.
Oh, my gosh.
It was. I kind of liked Nadia's dramatic performance about the king and queen potentially, you know, granting them a divorce. Yeah. Because that's all that Cammy really wanted at this point was a divorce from Perez.
Oh my gosh.
But at the end of it, they have to pick the most entertaining, and they both end up picking one person. And again, I get the feeling that Perez figured out what was likely going to happen here, whereas Cammy did not, because Perez picks Nadia as the most entertaining and Cammy picks Keith, you know, Cheggers. And then it is announced by Big Brother that, you know, they get to be the royal jesters now and wear these lovely hats. But they are also immune from being evicted. And, you know, which makes me think that, again, because Perez and Nadia are close in the house, that Perez purposely picked Nadia because he suspected that was going to happen. Whereas I think if Cammy had suspected that was going to happen, she would have just picked Chloe.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Perez is like really overanalyzing everything. I mean, it's working to his benefit in the game, I guess.
Yeah. In terms of the moves,
outthinking.
Big Brother, or thinking one step ahead of Big Brother. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just now he really screwed up on the public front. Like, oh, you mean the UK hates me instead of loves me. Oh shoot.
Yeah. So the next kind of parts of the group is the four, the two royals and the two jesters get to have a royal banquet. And we find Cammy and Perez must nominate four people. And the jesters are there to give advice, which Nadia kind of correctly figures out. So you're just going to ignore us, aren't you? And you can just see Cammy and Keith just cannot stand Perez at this point.
Oh, my God.
And I'm glad that they didn't have to come to an agreement. Although maybe that would have been good. Like, if you two cannot agree on, so the deal, they end up having to nominate four people to face the public vote, given that all four of them at the banquet are safe. If they had to agree on four people, and if they couldn't come to agreement, they would be nominated themselves. That might have been the best outcome to this.
Oh, man. Yeah, for sure.
There was one moment there where Perez is like, maybe I should put myself up for eviction, but it's against the rules. I'm like, please, Big Brother, let him put himself up for eviction. Because he's like, the public must be loving me right now. He literally thinks. So I was so hoping that he would be able to put himself up for eviction, or that Cammy, or like Nadia wouldn't suggest he do it. It wouldn't come from Keith, and Cammy wouldn't have thought of it. But like, if Katie was there, like, or somebody, Michelle would have, I could have seen them suggesting, you know what, ask Big Brother if you can abdicate the throne and put yourself up for eviction to save your populace. Yeah. Because the public would love that selfless move. Can you imagine, Perez? The public would love that. I was so hoping that would happen.
I was like yelling at the TV. I was like, come on, like somebody hear this and like follow through on this. Like that would be amazing. Oh my gosh, he's just so irritating. I just, oh my gosh. And like, you're right, Katie and Michelle would have been the ones to do it because they're just so fed up with him. And oh man, this guy. He's like Frankie Grande times like a billion.
Yes. I think with Frankie, and for those of you who are just UK watchers and did not watch the US, Frankie Grande, brother to Ariana Grande, was a contestant in Big Brother US this past summer. And he was very conscious of the cameras. And many times it was the Frankie show. But I think Frankie may not have had a good read on what the public viewed, but the public felt about him, which doesn't really matter in the US. But Frankie did have a pretty good read on his place and what people in the house were thinking. Yes. Unlike Perez.
Exactly. Frankie's much more self-aware of like interpersonal relationships, whereas Perez, like, what, man, you know?
I think us wishing that Perez had nominated himself was a bit like us wishing that Helen's pass to the finals last summer would be taken away.
Just evaporate magically.
Yes, I don't have the app open up right now, but if I could play the fan fiction a little tag, then that might be appropriate. Because I think us hoping that, wishing that was going to happen with Perez was a little bit of fan fiction.
Fan fiction. I can do
it. I'm basically a storyteller. That's what I do. There, we just recreated it. There.
Done.
Now, those of you who do not know what we're talking about, we are, of course, talking about the Rob Has a Podcast, the Rahap app, where you can actually subscribe to all of the, not only Rob Has a Podcast shows, you can just access those through there, you can access post show recaps through there, but you can also access the entire lineup of reality TV wrap-ups there, whether it be Amy and Haley's coverage of The Bachelor, which is going strong, whether it be Brian and Allie's coverage of The Challenge, which is kick-ass, or even the occasional Top Chef podcast or rise and fall of insert reality show here that appears on there. So a little mid-show plug for the wrap app.
Nice.
So fan fiction, and so they end up kind of deciding, well, we're each going to pick one person. So Perez ends, or we're each going to pick two people. Perez ends up nominating Chloe, and then Cammy nominates Alexander. Then Cammy nominates Alicia, and Perez nominates Michelle. I thought for sure he was going to nominate Katie Hopkins.
I don't understand what's going on. Yeah, why did he do this? I'm baffled. I don't understand.
Well, he said he was trying to teach Michelle a lesson, which I was like, oh, please, please show us the moment where you tell Michelle that the reason you nominated her was that you felt that she needed to be taught a lesson about acting in the house. I was like, let us see that. And we do see that explanation happen. And she remains remarkably calm. I mean, there's a point that later on where she's talking to, I think, you know, Patsy and probably the other girls in the house, except for Alicia. And she's saying, you know, if I survive this week, I have two words for Perez. And of course, you know, Cammy thinks it's F you, but no, it's game on. So,
yeah.
That was just strange. It was one of those things where I didn't want any of these four to go, because no matter who went, somebody, whether it was Cammy or Perez, was going to be like, ha, see?
Right.
There you go. But yeah, so we talked about, right, let's talk about eviction night. So mm-hmm. we've got these four up, and all I knew is that I was going into eviction night hoping that, because usually what you'll see is Emma will read through the names of the people who are up for nomination. So it'll be like, you know, Alexander, and then you hear the crowd's reaction to Alexander and Alicia, and you hear them, you know, cheer a boo, and Chloe and Michelle. And I was hoping that for some reason she would have to say Perez's name so that he could hear. Like, it's like, this week, two of you were, you know, king and queen of the fairies. Cammy, reaction. You were queen. Perez, reaction. I was hoping something like that would happen.
I wish.
But I forgot that the crowd will often chant who they want out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and it was loud and clear. Brutal. Perez. It was Perez, right? I mean, there was like no other names really thrown in there. It was get Perez out.
Zero. Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue easily.
No.
But yeah, I mean, almost to the point where you really didn't hear anything for Alexander. I think, you know, when his name was read, like Alicia got some
mixed.
It was mixed. I think like it leaned a little bit more toward cheers, maybe. Yes. But you definitely heard boos.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Chloe was also, for me, it was also mixed, but more boos than cheers.
Yeah.
Or a little more like Alicia. Pretty much her and Alicia were the same. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. I said they're both mixed. I said Alexander got mostly cheers, but it was also hard to tell. I feel like not many people cared.
Well, I think at that point people were still chanting, get Perez out. Yeah. Get Perez out. And then before they could notice that Emma was actually reading through the names. Yeah. So,
but Michelle got an overwhelming reaction, like positive. And yeah, she deserves it. She's fierce.
That made me get all warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
It's like and you can see her eyes started to tear up. Like, yeah, she was trying hard not to smile and to hold the tears back. And I was feeling really, really good for her.
Right.
And I was and throughout bit on the side throughout the week after the nominations at least had been finalized. You know, it's not often that you get this much support for somebody you want to win and wanting an American to win Big Brother in terms of the audience and the guests on bit on the side. There are a lot of Michelle supporters.
Yeah. I think like a lot of her support also came from the really heartfelt speech that she made in the diary room about how she was just so offended by Perez's actions, like when he was doing his little whatever that was in the backyard, and how like she was really upset that it could potentially create this negative, you know, color on the LGBT fight for equality, and how Michelle was kind of feeling embarrassed that he is like, quote unquote, like a representative of the gay community or the LGBT community. And she was really, really, really emotional about it. And I think that was a great DR session. And I thought the public really responded well to that.
And the thing is, I don't think she's had that conversation with Perez, and right, I want her to so badly.
Yeah.
But it could go one of two ways with him. He will either become indignant and offended, or he will break down in tears. And I don't know which way he will go, because it's like a flip of the coin.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I almost feel like he would be upset.
You think he'd be reflective?
Not at all.
Are you kidding, Kurt?
I think it would make him very sad, and I would feel bad for him in that moment, but I don't think he would learn anything from it.
Yeah, it's like the next, you know, bright flashy thing distracts him in terms of a camera opportunity. But so it's interesting because we will probably see it more of it on the Saturday show. Well, we're kind of recording this as it's airing. We saw everybody dressed up in kind of gowns and the royal ball almost. And then when the lightning strikes, they have to freeze. And the first thing they're kind of told is, well, who is saved? And we see that, you know, Michelle is saved. We talked a little bit about that, but also Alicia is saved, mm-hmm. and she is gobsmacked. I mean, she is completely shocked and like jaw like wide open. Because throughout the week, after she had been nominated, you saw her saying to everybody, "Oh, I'm gone on Friday. I'm gone on Friday. It's going to happen." But I think again, I wasn't sure that was going to happen because repeatedly on Bit on the Side, you see the panels talking about. A lot of people, like, I felt bad for how she was treated during the week.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if the public did, but a lot of the audience support and the panel support on Bit on the Side did feel that Alicia was getting ganged up on and bullied.
Yeah.
Maybe we talk a little bit about that. I mean, mm-hmm. it kind of really, it really just stemmed from, Katie Hopkins telling Alicia that she thinks that she's thick and slow and dumb.
And a weird mom, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we do need to rewind a little bit further. And I think it's time to maybe get into Bananagate a little bit.
Banana drama.
This was basically just there was a conversation where Alicia was talking about her daughter's diet habits. So apparently her daughter's three. And she doesn't or very rarely eats meat. And occasionally she'll ask for meat and she'll say no. But then maybe after a couple of weeks, she'll give her meat. And Katie was just shocked by this. And it extended to things such as she wasn't allowed to go to birthday parties because there was sugar there. And then during Halloween, that they would have, she would plant healthy treats amongst the neighbors. Like when my daughter comes by, give her this instead of the candy. And, wow.
What do you feel, Kurt? How do you feel about
time,
this?
I did think this was a bit extreme.
Alicia.
Of Alicia.
Yes.
And I even have in my notes that I agree with Katie's reaction to Alicia's pronouncements about her daughter's eating habits.
Yeah.
Or at least the steps that she would take as a parent.
The trick-or-treating thing is a little much. And like the birthday party thing, I don't think it's a shock that a lot of parents bring their children up vegetarian or vegan. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think that's a big deal. But trick-or-treating thing, like if you're going to like prevent your kids from going to a party because there's cake there, like that's a little much.
Yeah. But then I do agree with Alicia confronting Katie and calling her a cruel parent. I think that was out of line. And Katie ended up apologizing, saying, you know, some of it's probably semantics, but you know what? I'm apologizing. And the best thing to do is to move on. But then Alicia won't let it go. And she keeps like, there's like three or four times where Alicia's saying like, well, I could say to you, Katie, that it's cruel that you do this. And I could say that it's cruel that you do this. And she just doesn't let it go. And Katie says, you know what? I thought, we won't go there because the goal is for both of us to move on. And you obviously don't want to. And I've put it out there that we should. And I actually, at that point, was siding with Katie again. So it's like,
I took the opposite. I was siding mm-hmm. with Alicia more there because I feel like when I watch Katie, mm-hmm. especially, well, in that moment in particular, I kind of felt like she was just apologizing to, you know, placate Alicia to kind of get her to go away. And she wasn't actually
apologizing.
It was one of those like, oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And it's just like, oh, like, stop it. So I didn't like Katie in that moment. And I agree that, like, someone said during the nominations that Katie was kind of using, or somebody was using Alicia for, oh yeah, somebody said that Katie was using being mean to Alicia to further her own agenda outside of the house, so like to further Katie's career as this like mean personality, and so she was kind of picking fights with Alicia for that reason, and I kind of agree with that. So mm-hmm. I just don't see Katie's apologies as genuine at this point.
Oh, yeah. And I definitely don't think it was genuine. But I think at the time, I think the reason I'm saying that I was like thumbs up for it was because for me, like, I interpreted it as that being her way of saying, you know what, I'm going to stop and I'm going to back off.
OK.
And yeah. She ended up not doing that. I mean, it almost seemed like she had said, you know what, I'm going to agree to not say anything. And then Alicia kept kind of, you know, poking at her. I think more the thing that I was looking at, but it's interesting because I agree. And this may seem mean, Alicia does seem a little bit slow in terms of not picking up on things quickly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the thing is, I actually feel the opposite. And that's so interesting that you said that. Cause I'm just, I don't know. I just feel like, I think Alicia has made some really interesting observations about the house and the diary mm-hmm. room and outside. Like, for example, one time she said in the diary room, why isn't Katie using her intelligence, and she has all these degrees, why isn't she using her intelligence in a more positive way? And I was like, yeah, exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Like, I think then again, we don't see, you know, mm-hmm. the ongoings of the house all day. Maybe she's frustrating to live with and she doesn't understand things. But to me, I guess Alicia is a more sympathetic character than somebody yes. like Katie. And I don't see the point of these mean girl cliques, like just picking on her. Cause I don't know.
Yeah, no, completely agree that she has been kind of the unfortunate target of Katie and Cammy and Chloe. And I felt huge sympathy for her. And that's why I was like, I said, I was surprised to hear that the public, at least, you know, the audience on Bit on the Side and the panel on Bit on the Side, I'm just gonna call it bots. It'll yeah. be easier from here on out. That they also shared that. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see, I think, Alicia starting to, I wouldn't describe it necessarily reach her breaking point, but I think, and maybe this even kind of falls under the category of what you were talking about as kind of Alicia carrying herself in an intelligent way, is there's one point where she does say, and I'll agree with you here, that she's choosing when to pick her battles.
Yeah.
And so I agree. And I think maybe it was more, there's a naivete about her demeanor. But it's also because there's an interesting conversation that Michelle has with Alicia, where she explains to Alicia that she doesn't think she's thick, but there are some things that she does seem to pick up on a little bit slower than others, and that's not a bad thing. And there's lots of great things about her, and I think that's maybe more most. Michelle's stance on Alicia, I think, is more my stance on Alicia. Is
right.
It may not be fast, but is very kind, has a certain emotional intelligence. I mean, I was hoping that Alicia would like suddenly pull out the phrase emotional intelligence in speaking with Katie,
right.
In terms of, you may be very smart, you may have several degrees, but your emotional IQ is so, you know, under the charts.
Right.
Which is something I personally feel about Katie.
Yes. And I think the thing with Alicia is that I think a lot of her perceived like naivete or her like slowness, I guess, is uh-huh. I just imagine it's a lot of it's caused by deeply rooted kind of insecurities. And I think that's, the same, like with the plastic surgery thing, like where she's had these like doctors telling her that she's like certifiably ugly and she needs to like fix her body and things like that. I think it just all, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with this perception of unintelligence. But I think, like you were saying, there's a different type of intelligence that Alicia has that Katie just does not have. And I think it's really interesting that Katie is hanging out with the girls like Cammy and Chloe, who are so much younger than her. They're very catty when they're all together. Yeah. And I just think it really goes to show what type of personality you are, depending on the type of clique you hang out with.
But there was that same conversation where Michelle was having with Alicia at one point during it. Katie walks in and Michelle's just like, you guys are just oil and water. You guys are never going to get along. But at the same time, it's like, I came in prepared. She, like Michelle's saying about Katie, I came in absolutely prepared to hate her. And then she starts to say some glowing things about Katie.
Yeah.
And Katie starts to tear up. And I thought, just like, I think some of the diary room sessions you talked about with Alicia pulling out some, making some really nice observations about Katie as a person, and Michelle's speech in the DR about, her observations about, Perez setting back LGBT progress, for lack of a better word, like so many years of doing it a service. I thought that I really liked the diary room conversation where Katie was talking about how she never takes a compliment and she was like tearing up. And I like the genuine nice moments that Katie let slip through.
Yes, I did. I like that as well. And I thought it was really indicative of how maybe Katie knows that she is a nice person. Like, that's her true personality. And, she plays this character in the public eye and she kind of uses people to her advantage in that way and says all these mean things. But I feel like she maybe emotionally reacted to getting a compliment so much is because she knows that she's actually a nice person, like deep down, and that, I don't know. I'm totally playing a therapist or something. Well, what's wrong with me? But
she says something in the diary room about she doesn't think that, I mean, just with all that she's done, she just doesn't think it's possible for anybody to see the possibility that there is a good person inside. So she's right. Almost like stopped believing it herself.
Yes.
But it's like there's people in the house that she's said nasty things about. And I think these people still showing her love shocks her.
Yes. I almost wish that she would stop hanging out with Cammy and, well, she can't hang out with Chloe now cause she's gone, but stop hanging out with the like mean girls and just chill with Patsy or chill with Alexander for a bit, or Keith, like even Cav, like Kavanaugh, like chill with him, like some of the older kind of more chill personalities. I feel like I would like her so much more if she wasn't being catty all the time with these like really young girls.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. We alluded to Banana Gate a little earlier. This was not one of Alicia's more shining moments. They won their shopping task, which we can talk about. But as part of it, Alicia was insisting that she get bananas, and we see her go into the storage room and get some bananas and then go into her room and hide them. But it's not unnoticed by some of the mean girls. And they go and look for the bananas and they end up grilling her about the bananas. And, it was just really, really strange.
And so finally,
it was bananas. I don't know. I mean, she ends up, getting called out on it and feeling a little sheepish about it.
Right.
I did like, there's times when I really like Nadia. And this is one of those points where, she's trying to exclaim to Cammy that Alicia might be feeling picked on. And, she ends up apologizing. At least she does end up apologizing to Katie and to Cammy about taking the bananas.
Yeah.
But then apparently there was something about blueberries too that also caused the the house to explode. But it's even this that leads, you know, Callum to recognize that some of the girls are ganging up on who they perceive to maybe be the weakest. In this case, Alicia.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how things go with Chloe gone and Cammy not having a partner in crime, at least in terms of Chloe.
Yeah, I hope Cammy is less mean and less like knee jerk in her reactions, because she kind of goes from 0 to 100 in like a split second. I feel like she's like kind of obsessed with Alicia, or at least like making fun of her all the time, like making fun of her body and the way her body looks, the way she looks.
When she's from Miami. She's from Miami, so she knows plastic. She says
she knows. Yeah. She knows like nice butts and all that. But it's like, oh my gosh, Cammy, give it a rest. Like, you're 27, you know, like, why are you picking on somebody's someone else's body? Like, I have no patience for these girls.
Like, when it got down to Chloe and Alex, you know, we said Alicia and Michelle were saved, and I was really happy for Alicia, and that it like Alicia not going was kind of a point for, unfortunately, it was a point for Perez. I'd say it was more a point against Cammy in terms of, look, you've been picking on this person and she was saved. Yeah. So that was, yeah, whatever. So it was saved. So then it's down to Alexander and Chloe. When it got down to that point, who were you hoping would be saved and who were you hoping would go?
The thing is, it was so tough because I didn't want any of these four people to go, right? Like,
right.
I would have so preferred some of the, like, quote unquote, bigger personalities to go out just because they're so annoying. But I mean, I like Alexander so far. I really enjoy the moments. I think a lot of people think he's boring in the house, but I really enjoy him singing and just little moments. I really liked Chloe too, actually, except when she was kind of being catty towards Alicia. I really did like her, and I thought she had some really interesting perspectives and interesting opinions and wasn't afraid to speak her mind. So it was kind of a toss up for me this week. Who did you want to go?
Between the two of them, I think I wanted Alexander to go.
Yeah.
And only because if Chloe left and Alicia stayed, then it was kind of a feather in Perez's cap. So it was nothing against Alexander, but with Chloe going, I think I was afraid that Perez's immediate reaction would be smugness and haha, you know, I kind of won this round, Cammy, and
yeah,
and the public supports my decisions. But after the fact that the crowd was chanting it, get Perez out, I don't think that he's going to be, you know, self-congratulating anytime soon.
No.
Because part of that, maybe we talk a little bit about like the surprise twist of the launch night, where we actually have a new house guest going in.
Yeah, that was unexpected. I had no idea.
I had no idea either. And when I saw a couple people on Twitter and in the Rob Has a Podcast patron group were suggesting, oh, is somebody else going to go in now that the kind of an extra person is out? And I honestly didn't think that they were going to do that. I mean, technically, as of Friday, they were down one more person than they expected to be there was always supposed to be one person gone Tuesday, one person gone Friday. But we have, you know, Jeremy's ejection kind of ruined that trend. So I was expecting that they would maybe just turn a double elimination to a single elimination. But no, they bring in Katie Price.
Yeah, I actually knew her, which was really, like, I was so excited about it. Like, as soon as I heard her name, I was like, oh, Katie Price. And then I was like, what has she done? I don't even know what she does. I feel like she's kind of like the Kim Kardashian of the UK. Like, we kind of, everyone knows who she is, but she's like, you don't really know why, you know?
A celebutante?
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know anything about her, but I recognized her and she seems really kind of cool so far.
Yeah, she seems pretty chill. And like, I think anybody who goes into the, goes into the house. Well, first of all, she's been watching the show. And I think if it's anything like the Slavillion version that we watched last mm-hmm. summer, or even for people, I think even similar to the Australia show, even more so in the Australia show, they're not allowed to give news of the outside world. So they're kind of not allowed to talk about like specifically how things are being perceived. But you know, looking up her Wikipedia page, and you know, Wikipedia, it's always right. she is apparently an English singer, television personality, novelist, businesswoman, and former glamour model. So she too was in the, we heard Chloe talking about being a page three model. Again, that's the tabloid newspaper, The Sun, which is often the page three pictorial of a woman will often be a topless shot. Mm-hmm. So I guess she was the first person to be a week in the page three model for an entire week straight.
She's like the patron saint of page three.
There we go. I like that. kind of modeling, but has also, she's made some appearances on like Footballers' Wives and other shows. I think she looked like she's no stranger to reality shows because she was in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in the UK. She seems like it's kind of the typical, her VT made her seem like kind of a badass. But then when she got onto stage with Emma, she's like nervous and she's kind of very endearing.
Yeah. Totally genuine, really down to earth, really collected, even though she like seemed nervous. Like mm-hmm. when she was talking to the housemates about who she had to put in the like isolation cage.
The gilded cage.
I found that she was just really eloquent in her responses and like kind of cut to the chase while also not insulting anyone, which was pretty good.
It took her a while to cut to the chase, though. I mean, Big Brother
I don't know why I thought that she cut to the chase. Like, she did the opposite of that.
Well, she didn't really hesitate when it came time to do it. Big Brother had to kind of remind her.
Right.
But she was like way over explanatory. I wouldn't say over-explanatory. She was very explanatory.
Yeah.
But in terms of, it's actually very, very straightforward. But I thought the thing that was most interesting was the big thing I'm looking forward to in watching the Saturday show is how does Perez react to the house chanting, get Perez out? Because so far, all we saw was that when she entered, Perez is like under the stairs sulking.
Yeah, with his sunglasses on, hiding. Oh my gosh, so awkward.
And then when Big Brother finally said, you know, get to the point, who are the three people you want to put in there? She looks around and said, wait, are we missing somebody? So she knew ahead of time she was going to have to do this. And she clearly picked out the three people ahead of time. And she starts to look around, and that's when she notices Perez isn't there. Yeah. And you kind of see it coming that the first person she banishes is Perez.
Yeah.
And I was like, yay.
Yay.
Go and her reason is because the house needs an effing break from you, Perez.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's going to react well to Katie Price coming in. I think he, up until now, he probably thought that he was the top dog or like the diva of the house. And I feel like he knows who she is. And I feel like he knows that he's like way beneath her in celebrityness, I guess you would say.
We have to come up with like celebritosity. Does she have a higher concentration of celebrityum in her nucleus? her strands of CNA for cloning are much stronger than his. I was when she came in and finally like he comes out of hiding and they hug and good to see you. I was actually disappointed that he knew who she was. Cause what I was hoping for was that, you know, Perez had a chance to do background research on everybody that was going into the house. He figured out who was going in. He reached I believe he contacted them to like in anticipation of going in. And I was really hoping that some sort of X factor would be thrown in, that he did not know who they were, that he could not speak to them, did not have their dossier memorized. But apparently he knows her.
Yeah, I think she's pretty famous. I was living in the UK for a while and she was everywhere, like on every TV screen, like just all over the news. Just I think like she was a real pop culture icon over in the UK. So I think he pretty well knows who she is.
the second person she selected to go into the Bigoted Cage was Cammy. I believe the way she said it was, you need to sort your shit out with Perez. I wonder if that's going to happen.
Oh my gosh, it's like a terrible cage fight. Like, why? Oh my gosh, I feel like it's gonna be hell for lucky number three, Nadia, in the cage. How terrible.
It sounded like the reasoning there was that she felt Nadia was a strong woman and could take it.
Brutal.
She does seem to kind of be this. Maybe she'll be the potential mediator. Wow. Maybe. I honestly think that Cammy is going to be subdued in there. I think both in terms of she just lost Chloe.
Yeah.
I don't think she'll immediately like blame Perez for it, because it wasn't Perez that voted Chloe. I mean, she nominated her, but it was the public that voted her out. So I think that there may be discussion in there that's useful. Mm-hmm. Perez has basically, both Cammy and Perez got a bit of a reality check tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
In terms of Chloe going home and in terms of get Perez out.
Yeah.
Although they kind of cut to, as they were leaving the live show Friday night, they cut to Perez talking to either Cammy or Nadia. I'm not sure which it was, because they both had like the big hair from the ball. But it seemed like Perez was saying to somebody, he says that he's out of rehab and that he's no longer using, but I think he still is. And I'm hoping to God that he is not talking about somebody still in the house. Like, yeah. If Perez is just like stirring shit up still, like, you did not learn your lesson.
Oh my gosh. I hope, like, I just don't know with this guy. I feel like he's like a shit stirrer, like exactly what you just said. Because we've already had enough drama with like too much alcohol and really terrible people. And I hope not. I hope that's not true.
Like, what? And we didn't talk about it, and I want to get your take on it. What did you think about Perez's recommendation to Cammy to have a lesbian encounter with Chloe?
Oh, it was just so stupid. Like, I was just like, what is this? Like, you're being a creep right now.
Which was worse? The fact, okay, this is a tough question. Okay. Which is worse? The fact that Perez suggested it, or Cammy's reaction to the suggestion?
Oh my gosh. Perez, it is hard. It's a hard decision. But I think Perez's suggestion of it is worse, just because it was like so out of the blue, and like he just like the ego behind saying like, oh, this is what the UK would like, so you should do this. It's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's those moments, because I think he starts off saying, oh, they can hear this on the mic. Oh, I don't care if they can hear this on the microphones. Maybe because he's thinking they wouldn't show it, because it's kind of talking about the metagame a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's him thinking he can manipulate and outsmart the viewing public. Yeah. And I'm glad that they showed it, because I didn't think it was as appalling as Cammy's reaction to it. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was moronic and showed like no level of depth to his personality. Right. It showed how shallow he was. So it's just further examples of him completely being clueless when it comes to how he's presenting himself to the world.
Yeah. And that's actually, I think that's the mark of, like, that's the point this week where I took a really sharp nosedive on Perez. Like, I actually had like sympathy for him, like at the beginning of the week where he, like, you know, Katie was kind of ganging up on him when he felt happy that Ken got kicked out, because she was like, why is he celebrating that someone got kicked out of the house, blah, blah, blah. And I actually sympathize with Perez, like feeling like a weight lifted off and all that. But I don't think there's any going back, Kurt, after the end of this week with him.
Yeah, I think we didn't really talk about, there are only two tasks of note this week. I mean, there was the shopping task, which was kind of, for me, a little bit weak. They had to bike ride for the duration of the task. you had, and then they had to put together a single.
That the musical was single. Nice. Kavanaugh and Alexander writing the song. They were so cute. They were like really getting into it. You know, this is what Live Aid really had in mind when they were doing their song.
I have a history through these shows of not enjoying the musical tasks where they have to create. I know you didn't follow all of Big Brother Australia this summer. Did you catch them having to do their single? I think it was No One Can Stop Me Now.
I am not sorry that I missed that episode.
after we get, I will, you know what? If I can find a link to this song on YouTube, and I can find a link to the Big Brother Australia song, I will put both in the show notes so people can check them out on YouTube. I'm going to make you listen to that because that song haunted my dreams for like 3 weeks.
Oh, Jesus.
If I had to choose between the Cav and Alexander song or the was it Mr. Bright Eyes that they had to sing?
Oh, Mr. Brightside.
Mr. Yeah. Brightside, sorry. Loved that.
Yeah.
By comparison. but it was sweet watching them get to kind of take the lead and do something. But I say the bigger drama came out. And you typically see this every time in Celebrity Big Brother UK. It is kind of a standard staple where one of the first tasks that they have to almost always do in the season is some sort of task where the facts about the celebrity has to be matched up to the correct celebrity. And sometimes they have to, there's usually like one or two people that maybe are responsible for doing it. Because it's, you know, obviously people could fess up to everything and then it kind of ruins the task. So usually it's like one or two, everyone else has to remain silent. And here you had Ken and Michelle having to see, basically read a fairy tale where something was brought up in the story, such as then they went to somebody, a witch who was very smart because she has studied for a master's law degree, and it turns out to be Cammy. The big drama here came when, and see this, you said that that's when Perez did a nosedive for you. I think this is where Perez did a nosedive for me.
Right.
Where he, like, attacked Katie about the man that she was sleeping with being married, and then he also was, do you remember who it was that he was attacking where Katie was like, stop, you're making her cry? I can't remember who it was. Gosh,
I thought it was Ken. I thought he was going off on Ken for saying inappropriate things.
You're right. You have Keith saying, look, stop it. This is ridiculous. What are you doing? And Callum saying, dude, that's not cool. You're making people cry. I lost respect. Well, that's maybe I want to phrase it that way. My opinion of Perez did a nosedive at that point when he just seemed to be just purposefully attacking people to create controversy.
Yeah. The thing with Katie, like the thing where he was attacking Katie was weird. I think I sympathized with him on the Ken thing because I identified, like, there was that moment too that we didn't talk about that Ken like went into the bathroom when Perez was in there, and like you could see Ken like kind of like prodding at Perez and like touching him, like kind of like picking on him. And I felt so bad for Perez in that moment just because I was like, here's this like misogynistic like creep of a guy like cornering you in the bathroom. And it was just like, I just took Perez's freaking out during the fairy tale task as like this like just bottled up frustration and like kind of fear of Ken and his behavior. But the thing with Katie was just like weird. Yeah.
And that's why I had
rereading it now that I've seen the rest of the week, because it's very odd, and I can kind of know now that he does stir up a lot of drama for no reason.
Yeah. And I think I just found the point in my notes, and I think it's referring to this, is that it was when he was grilling her and going into her, and the whole house was telling him to shut up. And that's when Shaggers told him to close it. That's when Callum said, dude, you're making people cry. See, it's not cool. You're getting your, but then he did go into Ken. And then Ken, I thought was interesting. He was like, he was trying to stir up controversy. He asked Callum, like, so how much of your inheritance did you blow on your 3 hair transplants, Callum? And yeah. Callum's like, none of it. I actually didn't get anything. And there was no money to be had in the inheritance. It was all my own money. And I thought that was, it's like I got, you know, I got left with nothing except for a great name. And I thought, boom, Callum, good response.
Yeah. And that was also the moment when Chloe like ripped Ken apart for suggesting that she was asking for it from Jeremy yeah. because she made a career move of being Cameron Diaz's yeah. like butt double. And she just yeah. ripped him apart. And I was like, yes, like, this is awesome. Like, and Callum and Chloe are kind of like being awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those, that was one of those points where I was saying that you know, Chloe's like, no, I want to answer this.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but I see, yeah, that's like, with Perez the whole week, like, I had hope for him.
Yeah.
I thought he was coming off as very pleasant during the launch show. I liked during like the first couple nights where, or when they showed, I think on the second night, them actually picking their beds, and the whole point where he reached out to Ken and said, you know, let's, first of all, you're trying to get everybody, let Ken get his pick of the bed because he's the oldest in the house. Then he goes to Ken, it's like, you know, people have picked beds. There's a spot next to me if you want to share it, but I don't know how comfortable you are with that. I think, I thought he was being really nice and genuine then. And I wish yeah. he would kind of go back to not playing for the cameras. Because I think when I saw Perez on there, reminded me of the season where the situation from Jersey Shore was on there. And I was like, this guy is really coming off as likable. And he right. and Mike, the situation, was likable for the entire show. In fact, like, there was kind of like just the most of the celebrities for seasons, there's kind of a younger contingent and an older contingent. And Mike was the person who lasted the longest, even outlasting all of the UK youngins out of the young contingent.
Right.
It ended up being someone older who won that season. But I was kind of hoping the same thing would happen to Perez, where it's like this person that you see on TV or you see in the media, and they kind of come off as whether it's a jerk or douchey or something not likable, and you get to see a new side to them. And we're right. not seeing a likable side to Perez.
We are not. And I think we've gone past the breaking point. Like, I just don't see it turning around. Like, I did have so much hope for him at the beginning. I like you, I was like, oh, this guy's actually kind of like cool and like down to earth. And he's like, now it's just like, I don't think I can go back. Like, I almost have no hope that he can turn it around, just from what I've seen in the last few days. But that's going to be the interesting question leading into next week, is like, how Perez is going to react to the new Katie Price entrance and just to the get Perez out chant. So it's going to be fun to watch.
I cannot wait. It's like I've taken to now, like, you know, bringing my iPad to the gym, and as I'm on the treadmill or I'm on the elliptical, I will like pull up the YouTube app and I will watch it there and keep mental note. Okay, here are like the 7 notes I need to go back and write down.
Yeah.
When I'm, cause it's like, I can't wait anymore.
Yeah.
So those are the main notes I had on this week. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to bring up? There's so much.
There was so much. I think we hit all the main points, which was good. And a lot of people didn't get a lot of airtime this week, but
Cav,
you know, who else? Keith, I guess. Keith yeah. is just avoiding all the confrontation, which is a good strategy, I guess. I get the sense from Twitter and things that he's still a favorite, even though he's yeah. kind of avoided the drama.
Yeah. And I think there seems to be kind of a mixed reaction to the guys in the house other than Perez, in terms of them not choosing to get very involved in anything. And, right. And, you know, you've got all of these strong female personalities. It's almost like, you know what? Let it go. Like, this, let them take the spotlight.
Yeah, well, like Cammy said in the first episode, bitches be cray, you know? It's the motto.
It's completely cray. This week it looks like we're going to, we'll probably get some sort of nominations over the weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if Katie Price had some hand in that. But I think it was a typical Tuesday eviction and a Friday eviction. So we'll see how that ends up rolling out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody for sticking with us through this coverage of week two. Took a little bit longer than our typical episodes just because there was so much to cover. So much drama. But again, I think I announced in the middle of the show, if you want to download the Rahap app and catch up on everything, that's one way to do it. Or you can go to robhasawebsite.com/rahapups and subscribe to the feed there, or on iTunes if you want to as well. You'll catch all the great shows that we cover on this channel. I think that's about it. If you want to catch up with me on Twitter, I am at Kurt Clark with two C's. And Mallory, how can people catch up with what you're up to?
People can find me at my Twitter, which is my name, at Mallory Baisley.
Sweet.
That is all.
That is all. Again, thank you everybody for listening. We are excited to be back. I have a feeling the season is going to be over before we expect it.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got a little bit of, you know, a hiatus until the civilian season, the summer. I don't know if you've seen the promos, but it sounds like the Big Brother prize for the summer season has been increased to £150,000.
Yeah, I saw that on the, like, Emma announced that on the show.
Am I getting that right? £150,000?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember. It must have been 100. And are you thinking of auditioning? Are you thinking about faking an accent or seeing if they'll somehow overlook your lack of British citizenship?
They totally should.
I may have to look into that.
Yeah, I think we should just sneak on.
Yeah, I cannot
predict all the twists, and we can have like a secret alliance.
It's one of those things where I like think I'd have a passable accent, but if I tried it here, then all of the British listeners would be like, okay, you're an American and that's terrible. And we actually are insulted by what
you're
you think
done
we
now.
Saw. Yes, you're like, goodbye. So again, thanks everybody for listening. We will be back next weekend with our coverage of week three in the Big Brother house. Until then, keep on watching and look forward to chatting next time. Take care.
Bye, everybody.